And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest on UCF sports, he is my good friend Kyle Nash with Black and Gold Banneret. Kyle, how you doing today?
Hey, always good to come in and talk, Mark. Big night last night at UCF, regardless of how it finished up.
Yeah, the UCF Knights, they battled tough against Houston, the number one team in the country. What happened late there is, as I know, Houston pulled away.
Listen, it comes right down to it. There was just a stretch where UCF couldn't find the bucket. I think it was a stretch of three drives there with three turnovers in a row, three possessions there, three turnovers in a row, 18 on the night. By the way, 22 points off of turnovers by Houston in a game where they scored in the 60s. That should tell you a whole lot of what you need to know at the end there of what happened. You know, I know the fire Johnny Dawkins crew is going to be all riled up. He couldn't get there to finish. But I don't see Dawkins out there turning the ball over. So, you know.
All right, a couple things that I want to go over with you. Number one, I didn't go to the game. I felt like, and I know this is really bad to say, but I have to be honest on my own show. It's the number one team in the country. They're there at Addition Financial Arena. It's, again, the number one team in the country. This should be like, oh, that'd be cool to see. But I'm like, really? Is it really the number one team? Is that mantra of being number one in the country? I don't think it has the same feel like it has in years past. So I'm like, whatever. I've seen Houston play a bunch of times in the American. Am I a jerk for saying that out loud?
I'm not going to blame you for subscribing to the national phenomenon that is underrating this Houston team. They've been to the dance so many times. Mm-hmm. They've gone deep, and before they were able to be dismissed, oh, well, they're just in the American. Now they're doing that, and while in the Big 12, when is this program going to get some respect? You know, and I mean, listen, you could talk about a lack of gravitas in the number one spot in the nation in college basketball. I'm not mad at you for that. Everyone's doing that. Just look at the ratings for college basketball in the regular season. But to say that Houston isn't a great program, to me, is somewhat problematic. I can't back you on that one.
All right, I'm a jerk. All right, that's what this is.
I wasn't going to go that far, but, you know.
I'm a jerk. Here's my other problem. I'm sorry. This is where I'm going to sound like an old man. I'm like, all right, I got 50 games on my TV last night. All these college, even my cable subscription, I could do four games on once on the screen. Where's the UCF game? I'm here in Central Florida. I'm in the TV market. Where's the game? Oh, it's on the Watch ESPN app. What's up with that nonsense? I've had it after a while.
There is no way I would mistake you for Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. That's not a case here, okay? You're not screaming at kids, get off my lawn. As a matter of fact, you're inviting kids in the form of a young school like UCF onto your lawn, and you can't get them there because they're being prevented by the powers that be. Yeah, no, you're right to complain about this. I mean, they're even in the Big 12. They're playing the number one team. UCF, by the way, has, what is it, 3 or 4 quad one wins already, and the disrespect is palpable. I think they're still villains with all the major, you know, players, as it were, from the days where Danny White was talking national champs and all that other stuff. I think people are still seeing UCF as a villain back from those days. I think that's what you're saying.
This is my thing as a programmer. It's on ESPN. It's owned by Disney, Mickey Mouse. Put it on the ABC affiliate locally so people can see the game. What else? What are you playing last night? The Bachelor? What do you have on? It's ridiculous. I'm turning into an old man. Maybe I'm not Clint Eastwood, but it just drives me crazy after a while. Put the game on my TV so we can show UCF. That's my thing.
I mean, they're both reality TV. You're just giving the one that's actually worth your time. I'm feeling this, Mark Moses.
All right, you brought up Johnny Dawkins. He's been here for a while now. One tournament appearance. Now, I get it. You moved to the Big 12. But it's another year you're not going to be in the tournament. What are your thoughts?
I mean, whose fault is it exactly that you're not taking a football school, by the way, to the big dance, right? This is a guy who constantly has to turn players over, who constantly finds replacements, right? Over the time I've been covering UCF basketball, this would have been the third year, they've had a different big man under center, right? My first year was Sheikin Bakayjian. The next year, it was Michael Durr. The next year, we have, well, listen, I love Ibrahima Diallo, who is the block party himself, but Omar Payne has gotten his share, too. When are we going to give this guy a little credit in a world? By the way, as much as people are complaining about the transfer portal and NIL and football, Dawkins was dealing with it as an Olympic sport coach well before it was cool. The disdain towards Johnny Dawkins makes no sense to me. By the way, yet another season, he's starting to get 19 wins here. Say what you want about the lack of tournament appearances. I get that that could be a criticism, but in a school where it's well documented they don't throw money at basketball, right? Baseball has gotten more money of late. Granted, part of it is because they had to turn the coach over. But for the price you're getting Johnny Dawkins for a school that hasn't prioritized basketball in the slightest, you're going to question a guy, by the way, who is classy by every measure and right. In everyone's opinion who comes across him. But people still going to complain. Welcome to the life of the UCF fan.
So the question is then here with Kyle Nash, Black Eagle Banneret, what's the standard? What is it? Just be competitive? Don't be an embarrassment? What is it?
In season one, I think so. Sure. Keep it a football school with this many quad one wins. If I said to you, Mark Moses, hey, one of the early games at Edition Financial Arena is going to be Kansas and they're going to win, you would shout at me and call me a liar. If I worked for you, you'd send me to HR to get drug tested. And here we are. By the way, UCF also causing a major controversy because they had to use horns down. Personally, I think they're still infected from the days where USF was a rival. But that whole thing with Texas, that's another win Johnny Dawkins got. The fact that they were able to transition like they did, a team that was protected, by the way, to live in the cellar in season one, did what they did. In a conference, by the way, Oklahoma at one point was nationally ranked while being 500 in the conference in question. But we're going to bang on Johnny Dawkins. What are we doing?
So then are the expectations higher next year, though?
I think it's fair to do that. I really need to see what happens in the portal. And by the way, I think it's next year is Dawkins' last year on the contract. So at that point, I think what's going to happen from a fiscal standpoint, talking completely business here, I would believe that Terry Moharger is well-served to finish out Dawkins' contract before making that decision because they're still in a mad rampage to save as much money as possible. Because, listen, the landscape of college football right now is just so unpredictable. So I would expect to see Dawkins' contract get finished out no matter what. Would the standard be higher? I think so. And it's that performance that will determine whether they re-sign him or not.
It's going to be an interesting topic. I know UCF fans look at South Florida, who you just brought up. They go to the smaller conference. Or no, you know what? That's not right. Teams left the American, so then they stayed, and then they had lesser opponents, and then they got good, right? And they won the conference. Is that the best way to say it?
That's a great way to say it there, Mark Moses. I mean, that's fine analysis by you. And also, they switched out coaches, and they got a new regime. Listen, if only USF was smart enough to do that with other sports programs where UCF has dominated them lately. See what I did there?
Yes.
But with all that in mind, yeah, that's what proper grooming of a program looks like. They happened to land with no coach, and they took advantage of the fact that the American is currently rebooting. I'm curious to see what the American will do under Mike Oresko, just like it did what it did while UCF was there, from the transition out of the Big East and all that other malarkey that took place there. It's the first time I've used that on the radio.
Malarkey. I like it. Yeah. We're here with Kyle Nash, yes, with Black Eagle Banneret. You know, yesterday I was talking about Florida Gator basketball, where you look at Ty Golden, he has used the transfer portal to his advantage. Mm-hmm. And now they got 21 wins. They're going to make the tournament. You're a guy that covers college athletics. Is that what this is going to turn into where, look, I better just hit the transfer portal nonstop every year?
In basketball, we're already here, Mark Moses. Again, I remind you, just look at UCF in and of itself, right? The front court has been a constant turnover, especially at the center position. Like I mentioned, Sheik Mbakijan, Michael Durr, and this year Omar Payne or Ibrahima Diallo, depending on who you're asking, you know. Mm. Now, granted, that same transfer portal has also hurt UCF in the same way. Jamel Reynolds, by the way, who transferred out of UCF and whooped UCF's behind performing against UCF as a member both of Temple and of Cincinnati. The portal giveth and it taketh away, Mark Moses. But, yeah, you say, could that happen? I'm telling you, we already here.
The the days of, okay, well, I'm going to sit on the bench because we have these upperclassmen and I'll wait for my turn and be a good teammate. No, those days are dead because, yeah. Because the coach is going to be like, oh, sorry, I know our veterans left. Well, I brought in these other veterans, so you're going to sit on the bench. Well, then why should I stay here? Look, this is my thing. If I'm 18 years old, I want to play. I'm going to tell that to coaches. I want to play right now, especially when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, well, I don't care how old you are. If you are a player of a sport, you want to participate. That's what's in your blood. Listen, the reason why I enjoyed my time playing semi-pro bowl, even though I was a top guy on the bench, I still got plenty of playing time. It's not like I sat the whole game. I was still contributing. You know, so these guys that are sixth men, you know, just as an example, I mentioned Ibrahima Diallo and Omar Payne kind of alternating whether or not they're starting. They're still seeing plenty of time. They're still seeing plenty of production. So if you're at least able to contribute as a young guy, you can do that. To your point, let's say like last year, you know, Jalen Young was a point guard that got time because Darius Johnson got hurt. But it's very likely that he wouldn't have seen a lot of time because coach brought in CJ Kelly. Well, hey, this veteran's coming in. I worked my butt off through a JUCO to try to get to a Div 1 program, and now I'm not seeing the court. I'm out. Which, by the way, Jalen Young did anyway.
We're here with Kyle Nash, Black and Gold Banneret. All right, they lose last night to Houston. And look, they battled for 40 straight minutes. I want to give credit to UCF. They're right there. And if I'm going to go positive, they've battled all season. And I give you credit. You know, like you said, you beat Texas. You beat Kansas. They beat a couple teams this season. They're very competitive.
Oklahoma, Texas Tech.
Yeah, they played well all season. Is NIT, is that your best case scenario now?
I mean, the best case scenario is if they win a TCU and get a couple wins under their belt at the tournament, which I don't think they'll go deep enough in the tournament to turn enough heads to sneak into the dance. That's obviously the best case scenario. But I think fans should be prepared for postseason basketball in the NIT. Yeah.
Is spring football going to start here in the next couple of days?
Talking to Coach Malzahn about it on Monday, they're looking to clean the field up and get all that right because they're still recovering from that torrential downpour that was the Cure Bowl taking place there with the Hula Bowl and all that. Listen, FBC Mortgage Stadium, the bounce house has had a lot of action in it, even in the offseason here, and it's getting a chance to breathe. But, yeah, we're going to be seeing that come up here really soon. And look out for KJ Jefferson, man. I from talking to this kid, from seeing some of the film of him running dudes over as a quarterback, I think you're going to see something that is amazing. And by the way, the most important thing, the availability. He's not going to miss games like John Rhys Plumlee did. That's my prediction.
All right, here's my game plan. I think the spring game is on a Friday night this year. I think I'm going to go to that, then get a hotel, get up, and then drive to Gainesville for the Gators spring ball the next morning. What do you think of this?
Dude, I mean, if it's that kind of party, let's go together. That's what I'm talking about.
You're ready. You want to? Have you ever gone to the Florida spring game?
No, but I haven't done that yet. But usually they happen at the same time as UCF. But now they've embraced the Friday night, and actually there was talk about that, about how much the fans enjoyed doing the Friday night. And you know, some of them were like, oh, well, we want to tailgate. Some of them enjoyed it because it was a Friday night, and they're not, you know, we're in the state of Florida. They don't want to burn their butts off, you know. So I like that UCF is trying to break away and be accessible for exactly the quality Florida football experience you're talking about.
I can't wait. That's going to be here in about a month or so. That is going to be fun. I've not been to Gainesville in a long time. Because of what you're saying, they would do these like Thursday and Friday night spring games. I just don't like it. But UCF, I agree. I've gone to the Saturday spring game when it was 9,000 degrees and I thought I was going to pass out. And I've done Friday night. Oh, I'm ready. You bring up Jefferson, right? What are your expectations for him this fall then?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. Durability is going to be a thing. Like the part that's getting swept under the rug for all that UCF hater fans do and complain about the football program, they constantly leave aside how many games were played by a backup quarterback in these years with John Rhys Plumlee.
Yes.
And how much Plumlee was playing hurt. Like the bowl game against Duke was, he was not at his best, to say the least. He rarely is late in the season, right? So I think with all of that in mind, seeing a guy that might go the full gamut of games is going to already, in my mind, offer slight improvement. Now, I'll tell you this. Hearing Coach talk about it, he's looking for the – he said there's a potential for some big things. I think they're targeting a 10-win season, Mark.
You know what's funny? The other day, I was hearing another radio show which covers the SEC. I'm just going to say it like that. I won't give them love. A caller – okay, a caller called in. This is me driving home. I heard this. A caller who is a big Auburn fan was saying how great Gus Malzahn is and that they miss him at Auburn. What? Still? Well, they have been through multiple coaches since Gus Malzahn, so I kind of understand. But you're going 10. You're going 10 wins. You're going that high.
Oh, I'm not. I need to see more about what they've done to turn the line over, and I'm hearing noise that the fill-ins at linebacker are going to be good, which, I mean, you and I had the conversation throughout last year, their inability to stop the run. You know, in a conference, by the way, where there's at least two NFL caliber running backs out there on other teams, you know, and yet somehow UCF's guy here is getting rather dissed. Where's the talk of RJ Harvey? But I digress. I'll put it this way. I know the program itself is targeting 10 wins. For me, and again, I want to see more turnover first. If they can get 8 wins, I'm going to have questions.
Here is the schedule, even though it's March 7th today. Here's the schedule. You host New Hampshire. That's a win. Then you host Sam Houston. That's a win.
Yep.
Then you go to TCU, which is going to be tough.
Right.
Then you host Colorado and Deion Sanders. You've never played them really ever before. Then you go to the Swamp to take on Florida, which, by the way, is not a September game. It's in October. In the Swamp, you know they'll put that under the lights. You know it'll be 7:30 with the kick. They're going to do that.
I'm not mad at that.
Then
that's what UCF needs.
Yes, and we better buy our hotels now for that game. I hope you know that.
You're not wrong.
No, because, look, every time I go to a Gator game, I have to stay in Ocala because the hotels in Gainesville want $300 to $400. I'm not kidding for this. UCF at Iowa State. Oh, you also have Cincinnati at home. BYU at home, Arizona at home, at Arizona State, at West Virginia, Utah. That is a gauntlet, buddy, of teams they've never even played before.
Well, and likewise, they don't know the experience of playing under the sunlight here in Orlando. So that in itself. Now, maybe the Arizona teams, I would argue the Arizona teams even have an opportunity to struggle because you've heard the term of the dry heat versus the humidity. Humidity sucks. Let's be clear.
And like that game against, who do we play? Oklahoma State, when a typhoon hit the stadium with rain.
That's a great point, Mark Moses. That's a great point. That was a weather game that definitely favored UCF. You're not wrong.
You played offensive linemen. I would rather play in the snow than in the rain any day of the week. That's my thoughts.
I'll agree with that. The one time I played in a torrential downpour, the thing I wasn't ready for is your pads actually get heavier.
Whoa.
And they further weigh you down. When you're a fatty like I, well, I mean, I'm not sitting now, but when you're over 300 pounds and extra weight is applied late in a game, sure, it was a scrimmage game, but, like, you feel that, Mark Moses. With the cold, you could always bundle up. Maybe your footing's a little slippery. You know, just remember to take a big first step. You're fine. I too, as much as I hate cold, I too would prefer snow over a slippery, nasty downpour like you saw at the Cure Bowl, for example.
All right. Can you come back on and can we talk NFL draft the closer we get to the draft?
You know it.
Yeah. Do you think my Bears take Caleb Williams?
I do.
All right. So he's going with, that's his tease. That's what we talk in the industry. That's a tease right there. That is.
I like that.
And by the way, your quarterback of your 49ers, Mr. Irrelevant, but But whatever, that didn't count, even though he started the Super Bowl. Whatever, that guy's a bum.
Even though he took Patrick LeVon Mahomes the second to overtime for the longest Super Bowl in history. Whatever.
I got mock drafts who still rip him apart. Like, oh, I still wouldn't take him high. He started the Super Bowl. Oh, I don't care. He's not good. Forget that guy. What?
I would put it this way. I would at least not take him at Mr. Irrelevant. I'm that guy, too, based on what I saw, you know, in person. But he's, listen, give credit to an excellent coach in Kyle Shanahan and a great roster built by John Lynch and company. And you know what? Credit to Purdy for taking advantage of the situation and being a good quarterback. It's going to give him a long and fruitful career.
Hey, he's in the pocket throwing the ball to his receivers. That's what you need, okay? That's what he did. And he should have won that Super Bowl, but I'm sorry I brought that up.
So he's sitting there throwing the ball to his receivers and tight ends and getting supported by the defense while being picked late in the draft. Sounds kind of like Tom Brady to me.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. Kyle Nash, Black Eagle Banneret. Also check out his coverage for the Jaguars with Student of the Game. My man, thanks for helping. Have a great day.
Hey, an honor, joy, and privilege inviting me aboard. But until next time, Mark Moses, class dismissed.